Welcome to this podcast of Sunday nights on ABC Local Radio. I hope you enjoyed the program.
Good to be with you. And if you've just joined us, now in the studio, Reverend Dr. Keith Garner, the superintendent of Wesley Mission, joins us for his, it's about five weekly chat, I suppose, on the church, its social action. And in this particular evening and talk, we're going to talk about the more general approach of why the church actually involves itself in social action, not a particular piece of it, but what's right behind it. Keith, welcome again to the program.
No, it's great to be with you.
Now, what's gotten you interested in actually nutting this out?
Well, I suppose really, you know, we often talk about particular aspects of our service delivery. And it seems to me that one of the bigger questions, and I'm often asked, is why does Wesley Mission stand in this place where it is both at one time a church, a Christian organisation, without any doubt at all, at the other time it's engaging in welfare, social action, and trying to hold those two together.
Faith and works.
Definitely together. Word and deed, we call it. And I suppose really the reason why it's an interesting question for some, because there are many organisations that exist in Australia and around the world that began in the church, but somehow through history things have happened whereby they've remained social organisations, and very good ones, let me say, Noel, for that matter. They began there, but they somehow have allowed that part of the work to die and to become less important. And then there are others who are kind of vigorous in their Christian declaration, and that's up front, and everything somehow has to fall into line with that. We try to hold in what I call a creative tension, the two at the same time. And that's not easy, but I think it's the space in which Wesley Mission finds itself.
Do you have internal argument about how much you involve yourself in social work? Because this is a particular form of evangelical Christianity, isn't it, that commits itself to active work in society?
Yeah, I think we have those debates, but they're not usually the kind of debates of whether we should do it. It might sometimes be how should we do it. All of us at Wesley Mission are committed to doing that. And when I think back through our history, really, it's 200 years next year since Methodism first came to Australia. Mm. And so we're going to celebrate that. But it's really from about the 1870s that Wesley Mission engaged in a particular kind of evangelism, which was not just personal. It wasn't just a come to Jesus model, however important that is. It was that when a person finds Jesus Christ in a real sense, then it's not just a journey inward, it's a journey outward. And at that time, it was the floating docks of Sydney, and it was the outreach to the poor and the homeless that developed. And I think it grows really from a John Wesley view of the world, which is deeply spiritual, profoundly focused on the holy. But it was Wesley himself who said there is no holiness except social holiness, that holiness which expresses itself in society.
That's a big call, of course, isn't it? That's anathema to some evangelicals, I think.
Oh, sure. Look, and I think Wesley stood in that place, and Wesley Mission has stood in that place. When one of my predecessors, Alan Walker, went on the streets during the Vietnam War and was quite openly saying that this is really not the right thing to do. There was one radio program pulled the plug on him during one particular service because he said, you know, as far as he was concerned, Christians should not be engaging in this business, you know. And that's powerful stuff. I'm not going to give you the name of their program, you know, but I can tell you that actually happened. I mean, he was prepared to do that. I think we've had to do that at times.
You raise that historical issue about war. Now, that's a matter of defence and public policy. Now, that's a big call, of course, because that's a very big issue with any nation state, whether they talk war or peace. And I suppose there'd be many a minister who'd be absolutely furious with any minister who stepped forward from the pulpit to say, you shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, I think that what you do then, Noel, is enters into the heart of this issue, which is it's how you live with the dilemmas that arise when an organisation chooses to hold a couple of things at one and the same time. Mm. For us, we're working with governments, you know, and we know at times that
there's lots of government money involved.
Absolutely.
Expectations from government involved.
Sure, and I think the integrity is that if you are given money to deliver a service, then you should do that. And we never try to preach the gospel when we're caring for people in our welfare work. But at the same time, I don't think we sell our soul to the devil, if I put it that way. You know, our job is not really to say, okay, here is the master that pays you, therefore you just do everything that's there. I think the integrity, though, comes not in 5 minutes. It's built up over a couple of hundred years. People know that we don't play political games, you know, but we will speak for the poor.
That is also about knowing your own faith position, though, isn't it? Because in a sense, if you're being funded by government, you have to actually choose what you can do in conscience, don't you?
Yes, I mean, there are some things we perhaps would choose not to do. I don't know off the top of head what they might be, but I think we would always be asking ourselves, is what we're doing standing and lining up with what it is we fundamentally believe? And I think that what we fundamentally believe is that people are not just pawns, they're not just the kind of focus, they're not just clients, they're more than that. We believe that God has made people with the potential for fullness of life. Now that, I think, gives us a Christian perspective on what we do and why we engage.
You'll hear many, you know, a theological student, when they're introduced into counselling training and those sorts of things, and the word client even emerges, you'll hear them often resist it because it seems to objectify the person into a role.
Yes.
Now, how do you hold that tension when you're doing what you do?
Well, I think that I suppose it's the difficult task that I have in the role that I have as the leader of the organisation. I think my job is to articulate, if you like, the message that is our message, the bell that we ring, as it were, within the community. But we also employ people of the very highest professional standards. So clearly language is all of us know, language is used in appropriate ways in appropriate places. But the public space that we find ourselves, which we hope drives everything that matters, is that all the people in our city, our state and our country matter to God, and nobody is beyond his reach and his care. And for that reason, we care for people.
In that sense, I think it'd be fair for me to guess that you don't want to merely become a service provider.
No, we've made that decision, and that decision is a difficult one because I know that there will be times when people who, if you like, have an objective view about all of these things and don't have a religious persuasion would perhaps say, well, Wesley Mission isn't for us. And we know that there's a cost to that. And we will certainly not, as it were, water down the fact that we are a Christian agency. But I have to say at the same time, we don't care for people who are merely Christians. For religious reasons, belief, we care for all people, those of all religions and those of no religion.
So the basis is need.
Yeah. Need and, rather than creed.
And that's a conviction.
Oh, that's a conviction. That's a Christian conviction, if I put it that way. I think when you look at the ministry of Jesus and the Gospels, I mean, when you tell stories of the Good Samaritan and all, they're profoundly challenging of religious ideas, I think. When you get beyond, this is just a nice story about caring for people, this is actually a story that challenges the very, very heart of those who actually act and those who do and those who surprise us. I mean, it seems to me that Horace Walpole's word, serendipity is a very real one when you study the Gospels, because when he told parables, when he told stories, when he healed people, you're often surprised at the way Jesus takes people seriously. So we do engage irrespective of who people are. We hold a very clear, I mean, today I've just come from worship. Worship matters to us. We know that, in fact, if you were to ask me, where is it that I am most alive as the head of Wesley Mission, it wouldn't be sat as I will be tomorrow with government ministers. It won't be in debate. It's when I'm breaking bread, because there at that moment I think I'm doing something that's profoundly Christian, but I think its social dynamic and message is powerful.
This must, I think, in a sense, come out of the very nature of the organisation that's gone before you historically, because you wouldn't have been called to it unless it already had a sense of who it needed to lead it.
I believe that the organisations like Wesley Mission, and this would be true, I've heard earlier tonight you've been talking to leaders from various denominations and Christian traditions. We are what we have been made by history, you know. When I arrived in this country, I'm now a signed up Aussie citizen, but at first it was a very big challenge coming into a country and being there, and people would look at me and say, who are you, you know? I'm actually the head of Wesley Mission, and immediately lights went on, not because of who I am, but because who we've become over that period of time. And I think that's profoundly the truth. It's like the baton in the relay race handed on. You know, I'm only running a short stretch of this.
What convinced you, what hooked you to actually come?
Oh, look, I do believe in this theology, this understanding of God that says that we should be offering the saving name of Jesus Christ that enables people to find dignity, worth and meaning. But at the same time, we should help people in the places from which they need to be saved from. In other words, poverty, degradation, hurt, and sometimes saved from ourselves. We all know that we need that. So I'm convinced about the theology, the understanding of God. I don't believe in a God that casts some people aside and holds others in special. I think God is a God of the most profound spiritual inclusivism.
This is the socially engaged gospel, yeah, of the Wesleys, of Methodism.
Sure. Sometimes it was called the social gospel, but I never really quite find those words are appropriate in the 21st century. But I think a gospel, Noel, as you've said, that is socially engaged seems to me to be the only gospel worth having.
What in your own background, I mean your own theological growth and growth as a Christian, led you to this where you are today in Sydney, do you think?
Well, I don't come from a church background at all, you know, so I don't have any family that belonged to the church. I came to Christ through the life of a youth club in a church in the 1960s. Best girls went to that youth club, so why not go, you know?
So there was a practical reason.
Yeah, but eventually I found faith, and I was nurtured by an old miner, a very poor man who was a preacher. It was very much a Methodist tradition of having local preachers, or lay preachers as we call them in the Uniting Church. And he had an enormous impact upon my life, not because he was a great speaker, not because he had all the gifts that you might want to emulate, but there was something about this man that said an ordinary working miner could be a minister of God, and he was. And he had tremendous understanding of the society in which he lived and how he should really understand faith and work.
And that was a personal connection that really led you in this direction.
It's a personal direction, and then it moves on in terms of training and theology and the life of the church. And I always long for the place where, you know, Noel, I was going to, before becoming a minister, I was going to work with, and this gives you an image of the time, I was going to work with what were known as severely subnormal people, educationists subnormal. And in Australia as well as in Britain, we have this title.
Those were the old days, yeah.
Dreadful understanding. Yeah. Thankfully, now at Wesley Mission, we do work with people who are educationally challenged and people who've got gifts in other ways. And I feel like I've gone full circle. I've been able now to embrace that which I felt I wanted to do, along with the Christian calling as a minister.
Reverend Dr. Keith Garner, always great to have you on the program.
It's a pleasure. Good to be with you, and always enjoy listening to this program as well as taking part.
Well, we like having you on it. Thank you.
This has been a podcast of Sunday Nights on ABC Local Radio. Thank you for listening.